Now, yesterday, the HSE has announced, and announced the Minister for State, indeed, for Mental Health and Older People, Mary Butler, launched a new advocacy service available to young people using the Child and Adolescent Mental Health Services in Kerry. The service is provided by Youth Advocate Programmes Ireland and funded by the HSE. This is the first time an independent advocacy service of this nature has been provided for young people using child and adolescent mental health services in the South West. Independent services have been available in Galway and parts of Dublin, have helped young people engage with mental health services in a meaningful way. The independent mental health advocate has already started work in Kerry and is now available to young people using CAMHS in all parts of the county. And with me in the line to talk about this with Siobhan O'Dwyer, who's CEO of YAP, Youth Advocate Programmes Ireland. Siobhan, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us in the programme.
Thank you, Gerry. Thanks very much for inviting me.
Tell me about the work that you do. What service will you be providing to service users of CAMHS?
So the Independent Advocacy Service will provide independent advocacy for young people or their families. So basically, for any young person or parent whose child is accessing CAMHS, if they feel that there's something that they're unsure about, if they're anxious about a meeting, or if they're not sure that they understand the information that they're receiving, that they're unhappy about something, and they don't feel strong enough in themselves to keep raising these issues, they can contact the Independent Advocacy Service. And the Independent Advocate, Danielle in Kerry, will actually talk to them about what it is that they want to know, how do they want to go about finding out the information, what is it exactly that they want to say, and actually support them in a very practical way to get the information that they want.
So that's where it's coming from in terms of what you will do. You're funded by the HSE, but you're independent. What would you say to people who have concerns that there isn't independence there? Or are you fully independent of the organisation?
Yeah, I mean, we're funded by the HSE for this particular service, but we are an independent advocacy service. And so the issues that the young people or families want to raise are their issues. So we don't give advice. We listen to what people have to say, and we encourage them to be able to formulate that in a way that means that they can get the answers that they want. So we do work in partnership with the CAMHS teams, because that's very important. Otherwise, young people and parents aren't going to access the service that they need. But what we do is actually give them a voice, either through direct contact with CAMHS clinicians ourselves on their behalf, and indeed, as time goes on, supporting them to self-advocate for themselves. I mean, it can be incredibly scary, Gerry, to be getting involved in a service like CAMHS. It can be very frightening, very confusing. There's a lot of information to take in. And sometimes people think that they understand what's been said, or they're clear about what their care plan is. But often over time, that may not be the case.
Yeah.
So they often need support to go through those things again, to have different conversations with their clinicians, to be able to raise things that they're concerned about or things that are working well, and try to enhance those services so that their recovery is enhanced. Because that's the most important thing here, is that young people get the service that they need from CAMHS, and that they go on to have full recovery and live their full lives.
Yeah. Siobhan, how conscious are you? I know work has begun already. What has it been like, and how conscious are you of the damaged relationship that's there between families, parents, and the service in Kerry, given what's happened?
Situation. And so we're available to any of the families and young people who were harmed in the past in Kerry. But also our focus is very much on making sure that the young people and families who are receiving services today and into the future, which is the very important piece, have an independent advocacy service so that they can raise issues if they wish to, and that they can work alongside the clinicians to make sure that they're getting the best service possible. Also that they'll have their voices heard in any changes that they may suggest could be made to make the service work better. And that supports staff as well as supporting young people and families, because we can all improve our services at times.
Yeah.
But we're not concerned about whether or not we're independent. We take our lead from the young people and parents as to what they want to say. We don't tell them. They decide what they want to say and what they want to ask, and we don't filter that.
And is there a commitment finally from the other side to hear what you're saying and to interact with ye as the independent advocacy service on behalf of people who choose to use ye?
Absolutely. It's within the SLA itself, the service level agreement, but also in the day-to-day work and relationship with all of the staff in the HSE. I mean, Michael, Fitzgerald and Sinead Glennon, who have initially introduced it. We have our champions within the CAMS teams, and all of the staff have been very welcoming and see this as a very positive service. Issues will arise, Gerry, there's no doubt about that, and we manage those issues when they arise in other parts of the country as well. But again, we have to be open and transparent with each other, we have to trust each other, and we have to make sure that what's important here isn't really what I have to say, it's what the young people and parents themselves have to say, both on an individual basis to enhance their recovery, but also if there are overall themes that are coming up, that the HSE are committed to addressing those themes, and they are.
All right, Siobhan, listen, we'll leave it there. Thanks very much for talking to us on the programme about the service that was launched yesterday. That's the Youth Advocacy Ireland, which will be representing people who are available for service users of the Child and Adolescent Mental Health Services in Kerry. We were speaking with Siobhan O'Dwyer, the CEO of Youth Advocate Programmes Ireland, who have been launched as the advocacy programme for young people and their families accessing services in the child and adolescent mental health services in this country, and particularly in Kerry. This comes, of course, after the scandal that we've all been talking about and you've been hearing about over the last number of months in relation to CAMHS and the services it provided in South Kerry, and indeed the continuing discussions, the continuing process that's going on in terms of redress and possible legal actions being taken in relation to this. The advocacy service, independent of the HSE, but funded by them. With me in the line to talk about this, we've got Mary, not her real name. She's a representative of many of the families who were involved. Her child attended Kerry CAMHS between 2016 and 2020 and was one of the children affected. Mary, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us again this morning.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Not too bad. Listen, what's your response to, I suppose, this latest move that an independent advocacy service is being put in place?
Well, I went to the opening ceremony yesterday myself, not necessarily as a representative, but as... just for my son going forward. Overall, the parents think that this is a good step forward, that a lot of people with regards to what has happened in Kerry, and when we've been talking in workshops and discussing with the HSE, that they felt that as parents they haven't been heard, and then their children haven't been heard. And I suppose even as a representative, I'm representing my son's views, but I'm not my son, you know. And so it's good for the young adults in particular, maybe the 14, 15, 16 year olds upwards, that they actually have their voices heard as well. So anything that kind of helps that process and gives them the opportunity to have their own personal voices heard is welcomed. And then anything that can help families as well on top of that is also a positive step.
An extra layer of protection perhaps, maybe, and maybe for people who are going through the service now or people who come through it in the future, Mary, that this will be of benefit to them.
We do think it will be of benefit, particularly if you do feel that you need support, because you go into these services and you don't have anyone telling you how the service is supposed to work. You have professionals in front of you that you maybe would take what they're saying without questioning it, which is what happened to a lot of families, or with some of the families in the group, like the particular doctor involved used his... authority to say, well, if you don't do what I'm saying, I'm going to report you to TUSLA, and I'm going to report here, and I'm not going to help you do that unless you medicate your child. And so if they had an advocate in the room at the time when they were questioning these things, that might not have happened, and they might have felt more empowered, and it would have helped them. Now, there is some concerns from family members that at the moment there is only one member of staff for the whole of Kerry. Which if you take even just the 200 plus families that have been involved in the Maskew report, if every one of those families try to avail of that one person, they're worried there could be long waiting lists again. No, that isn't the case at the moment. It's just an ongoing process that the group have kind of come back to me and said, well, if we were all to contact them at one time, would we then be left waiting? And if this is for the whole of Kerry, would you then have the long waiting lists?
Seeing in some places, and a long wait for services, a long wait for support, which does its own damage to people.
Yeah, no, that isn't what's happening at the moment. And so I'm not kind of saying that is what's going to happen, but it is something that has kind of come up in discussion with group members, that if we all, say, phoned this one person today, how would that be handled in terms of, would you actually get the services quickly?
Yeah. Mary, on the compensation side of things, our understanding is that state compensation scheme is being rejected by families in high numbers, operated by a state claims agency. It opened in April. It's only open to those identified in the report, the Maskew report, which came out as having suffered a level of harm. Where do things stand from the family's point of view with that process?
Many of the families, like you're saying, they haven't signed up either, because they're waiting for the terms of reference and exactly how it's going to work. So what they have maybe is a general idea of how our scheme works or how this scheme is going to work, but they have lots of questions that aren't necessarily being answered at the moment. And then if they're following the advice of their solicitors in some cases as well, where they're still negotiating those terms of references, which seems to be taking quite a long time, considering that the compensation package was sent out in April, and yet it hasn't been kind of all negotiated out properly. So there's lots of questions, and I think that's what's putting the families off as well, is that we're not legal representatives. We don't work for the government, so sending out information with lots of legal terms and no timelines or anything like that, it's hard for a parent who doesn't have that experience to know exactly where to turn.
Yeah.
So even with myself, when they're saying that it's a quicker process than going to the High Court, okay, so I'm aware the High Court is maybe 4 to 6 years if you decide to go down that route. So when they say a quicker process, do they mean a month or do they mean 3 years? Because that's still 3 years in limbo for that family if they need help right now. And a lot of the families do need help right now, like financial help right now. They need to be able to access private services for their children or specialised services for their children, and they're not able to access it because they just don't have the finances to be able to do that. So it's difficult to know what to do when you don't understand all the legal jargon as well. So I think that's something that's making families kind of pause and wait to know exactly what is going to happen going forward, and not sign into something where
they can't make a definitive decision whether they're rejecting it or not, because they just don't have enough information, not getting enough, I suppose, immediate support.
Yeah. So I'm aware the government are saying, you know, it's non-adversarial. I spoke to Minister Butler yesterday. She absolutely is confirming it's non-adversarial. But I suppose when you don't know what figures you're looking at, you don't know whether, okay, I'll go into this claim and this is the figure and I'm happy with that, or I'm not happy with that, I'm going to need more support than that, and in that case I am actually going to take you to the High Court in hopes that I would get what I would need to be able to keep my child in the service they need potentially for the rest of their lives. And no one knows how much that figure is going to be. So if you don't have those things to work with, you don't know whether to go into a scheme.
Even if you were to understand, Mary, that like if there was some sort of an interim review carried out or an amount of money that would be assessed now and it would be open for review 5 years down the line when you know more about prognosis and how development is going.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Like, nobody knows what the effects these drugs are going to have on your children going forward. You can only assess what's happening right now, and I appreciate that. We don't know that. The government doesn't know that. The medical professionals don't know. You don't know maybe if in 10 years' time something has happened because your child has been given a drug while their brain was still developing. You don't know if that's going to have a knock-on effect when they're an adult. So how do you know what services you're going to need?
Okay, so more information.
It's really difficult to then pinpoint it down to, oh, that's a great amount right now, or that's a great deal right now, but it might not be a great deal further down the line.
Yeah.
And it's hard. It's hard for everyone to know that. You know, it is unprecedented. It is an unknown. And I can appreciate that it's difficult from all angles to know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But, like, to be able to sign into something and not know if you can kind of take it back and then realise that, oh, that you do have to take it back and you can't.
Yeah.
That's kind of a sticking point for people.
Yeah. Okay, Mary, well, listen, look, more information needed and hopefully you get it before too much longer. But thanks for updating us on your views on that. That's Mary on the line, not her real name.